welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David, and I want to make one more point about the temple curtain being torn in two, and then we will move into today's topic, which is what happens to Jesus between his death and resurrection. Where is he? What's going on there? So that's what we're going to look at. We're looking at different events around the crucifixion. What does the Bible really say about them? And I just want to add about the temple curtain being torn. I've told you I believe it was a sign of God's judgment against the temple. That's how we can fit the context best of what's going on in the Gospels when they announce the temple curtain being torn. It's not really communicating that we have access to the most holy place. It's talking about judgment. It doesn't actually make any other connection in the text. So what does that have to do with trusting the Bible? Well, like I told you yesterday, if it is a sign of judgment against the temple really is destroyed 40 years later. This doesn't mean the temple system is done away with. The temple had been destroyed before in judgment, but now the temple is going to be destroyed again. That's what is basically announced by the tearing of the temple. The Talmud itself, so not a Christian source, but Jews who did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah, even they acknowledge. So we have an independent witness, early historical testimony that dates back to this time, that beginning 40 years before the destruction of the temple seemed to not be working properly. So there's a specific reference to 40 years, and then there's a couple of different things that started happening. Namely, the cord that changed color on Yom Kippur around the temple door stopped changing color. And there were a few other things that are mentioned. One of the gates stopped working. The Talmud mentions these things, and it connects it right to the time period when Jesus died, about 40 years before the destruction of the temple. Now, the Talmud doesn't want to say it was the year Jesus died, because it makes it sound like, whoa, the Christians were right, but it says about 40 years before the temple is destroyed. So the question is, why was the temple destroyed? For the Jewish people, there's a clear answer to that, why the temple was destroyed the first time. Why was the first temple destroyed? Well, because of idolatry, because the Israelites abandoned God. All right, that temple was destroyed for 70 years before it was rebuilt. The second temple has now been destroyed for well over 1,900 years. So it seems like whatever happened that led to the destruction of the second temple, there was even a greater sin that was being punished than even the first temple being destroyed. Well, in the second temple period, you don't have idolatry on any kind of wide scale. You don't have the kind of sins being committed that happened before the destruction of the first temple. So Jewish people today say the second temple was destroyed because people weren't praying with sincere hearts, or there's all kinds of theories, but none of them really indicate why there would be such a significant punishment as the destruction of the second temple for so long. But the Talmud itself talks about, hey, this really started 40 years before the destruction of the temple. And that's when Jesus, who I believe is the Messiah, was put to death. This is not to say that God has stopped working with the Jewish people. No, actually, there is a covenant God put in place, and God said, when you break this covenant, these will be the punishments. So the fact that you see some of those punishments that are listed in Deuteronomy occurring after the death of Jesus shows that God is still enforcing the covenant, and the promise is God will bring his people back to the land. God will restore the temple. God will return favor to them, and God will make clear that Jesus, a Jew, is the true Messiah, and he will bring about the Messianic kingdom and all that the prophets promised to Israel in the Old Testament. So, I do believe that this is temporary, that this is in response to or connected to the death of Jesus, and there will be a future time of blessing poured out on the Jewish people through Jesus. And I don't know how you view all of this as just a coincidence. That's interesting. No. This is God still using signs to grab our attention that Jesus truly is the Messiah, the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And I don't really see how being reasonable would point you in any other direction than that truth. So that's the connection. We can trust that the Bible is true. Let me now talk about what happens to Jesus after he dies. So I need to kind of set this up to begin, and we'll really focus in on it tomorrow. So I'm going to use Luke's account of the crucifixion to talk about this issue. So it says in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. And the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." So Luke also records the tearing of the temple. It says, the sun stopped shining and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. But again, Luke doesn't say this. The meaning of this has to do with access to the most holy place or anything like that. He just simply records that it happened. But, you know, when Jesus says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," where does Jesus go? What happens with Jesus? Well, there is a traditional church creed that dates back to the 4th century. The most famous Christian creed out there, called the Apostles' Creed, where it says, Jesus descended into hell. Well, what does that mean? And where do we get that from? And how do we know that's true? Well, it can mean various things. For some believers, this has been interpreted to mean that after Jesus died on the cross, he descended into hell where he suffered in hell in our place. In other words, Jesus' death on the cross isn't actually what paid for our sin. That was more symbolic, or maybe began to pay for our sins, but then he took on the full suffering of how people suffer in hell, and that was so that we wouldn't have to suffer in hell. He did that in our place, and then he comes out of the grave signifying that his time of torment is over. All right, I don't think that is at all the traditional interpretation of the Apostles' Creed or how the church has understood that through the centuries. Nor do I think you can find any biblical support for that. I'm going to address that specifically moving forward. A second interpretation is that Jesus went into hell to rescue people out of hell, to bring out the saints who were in hell. They weren't being tortured in hell, but they were kind of in the same location, in Hades, in this realm of the dead where both the righteous went and where the wicked went to be tormented. And there's kind of two compartments in this place, one for the righteous where they're not tormented, one for the wicked where they are. And Jesus descends into Hades, which we call hell in the Apostles' Creed, depending on the translation. And he since he's now died on the cross, he goes in to rescue the righteous out of this place and bring them into the heavenly place. This is a more traditional interpretation. This is what is meant, I believe, what the Catholic Church intends by this phrase in the Apostles' Creed and what other churches, therefore, also teach. This also, I think, is highly suspect. I think the Bible says here that he says to the thief on the cross, Jesus says from the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." I don't think that is a realm connected to this Hades where the righteous are being kept until Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." I don't think that means he then immediately descends into Hades. So what happens with Jesus? Well, we'll look at this more closely tomorrow. There is a passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 that some of these interpretations are based on, and it says, "Christ also suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built." What is that all about? Well, we'll get into that in more detail tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.